Very pleasant good morning to each of you. It's good to be at Eastland. I've had meetings here over the years and did a vacation Bible school here, I think it was 3 years ago, and enjoyed that and enjoyed getting to become acquainted with all of you, although some of you are new since then, and so I'm looking forward to the chance to getting to know you a little bit better. But I appreciate the elders inviting me to come today, and trust that our worship in this 1 hour will be encouraging and that we will all leave edified and strengthened, because that's why we are here. Enjoyed staying with the Morrises this weekend and appreciate their hospitality and their kindness. And Shaney gave us full use of her coffee pot, although she said we'd have to bring our own. So we brought our own. And we're going to work on them a little bit to maybe convert them as time goes on to the coffee bean. But regardless, we have appreciated being with them this weekend. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John, the very first chapter. John, the very first chapter, and beginning in verse 35. John 1, beginning in verse 35. Again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. And verse 43, the next day he proposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said unto him, "Follow me." Over 20 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus tells someone or someones to follow him. When he called the four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he said, "Follow me." When he met Matthew at the tax office, he said to Matthew, "Follow me." To the rich young ruler, he said, "Sell your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me." When he called all disciples, living then and now, he says, "If any wish to come after me, let him deny self and take up his cross and follow me." But do we really understand what that means? I love to read. I love to get up in the morning before the sunrise, and I've always got a book going. And the book I'm currently reading is written by Bob Goff. It's entitled Dream Big. On page 39 of that book, he says, "On my first trip to Uganda, I wanted to meet some Ugandan kids and kick a soccer ball around with them and hear about their hopes. And so we got to the little village, and the kids did not disappoint. Despite the hardships they had faced in their war-torn country, they were filled with optimism and bubbling over with laughter and bright eyes and contagious smiles. And so after an afternoon of playing with the kids and realizing a new dream was growing in my own heart, we got back into the Jeep. I was waving goodbye, and about 10 kids started running behind the Jeep as we pulled away. I kept on waving and all of us smiling and laughing, but the pack of running kids started to grow. Now there were 20 kids running after the Jeep. So I figured one hand waving wasn't enough. I got both hands waving because I hate goodbyes. And after several minutes, my arms grew tired, and I noticed the crowd of kids had now grown to about 40. I asked the driver, I said, "Why are these kids, why do they keep chasing the Jeep?" And he told me with a grin that the gesture of waving your hand in North America is used to say hi or goodbye. In Uganda, the waving of the hand means, "Follow me." I love that. So I have to ask you the question this morning. Are you following Jesus or are you just waving at him? When Jesus invites us to follow, when he invites us on this adventure of the abundant life, he's calling for us to do the very same thing he called upon all of them to do. I want you to follow me. I want you to be fully alive to me. I want you to be fully engaged to me. I want you to align your faith with the gifts God has given you so that you can serve the people God puts in your path. Follow me. I want you to stare down fear with faith, understanding that God's got your back. Follow me. I want you to stop compartmentalizing your faith. I want you to stop thinking about faith as a one-day event. I want you to stop thinking about faith as a box here and a box there that you just check off. I want you to follow me with every part of your life. You know, there's a lot of good things in life. There's a lot of bad things. And we can think about both. There's good stuff. There's opportunities to work and make a living and feed our families. There's school and there's sports and there's hobbies and there's shopping and there's all kinds of things that we enjoy doing that are good. And then there's bad. We worry too much and we get angry and we become afraid. And we get frustrated at times and we become jealous and pride enters in and stress levels go up and we get so busy with things of minutia that we forget the most important things of all. But life is made up of all of that. There are things in life that lift us up and there are things in life that trespass and make life really complicated and hard to follow him. But please be advised this morning that Jesus is not looking to build an extra room on the back of your life like a mother-in-law apartment. That's not what he wants. He's not saying to you and to me, here, let me add something else to your life so you can squeeze me into the things you already do, as good as they are. He's not asking that. And he's certainly not asking to accommodate our bad attitudes with a pat on the back, pat on the head, and say, well, invite me into your life and we'll kind of work around all of those things. First of all, if the rooms of your heart are already filled, he's not coming in. And if your heart isn't right, he will call you out on it. He called them out on it. He's not our maid. He's not our butler. He doesn't show up to provide us room service. Jesus doesn't come into our lives to turn down the covers at night and put a little mint on our pillow. He, in essence, says, don't patronize me with a wave. I want you to follow me. Big difference. But don't make following Jesus complicated. I think sometimes we do. Jesus calls us to a simpler faith, a more intentional faith, not just a busier one. Now, please understand, biblical understanding isn't bad. We need to know what we believe, and we need to know why we believe it. After all, Scripture says, Paul says, study to show yourself approved before God. So you need to study. You need to be like the Bereans and search the Scriptures every day. You know, Jesus never said knowing everything was the prerequisite to being able to follow him. You don't need a degree in theology to join your faith with your action. Because, ladies and gentlemen, just like those he first called, it is in the process of following Jesus that we learn the most. And by the way, if you want to follow him, then why don't we spend time on the stuff He spent time on? Like prayer. And listening. And serving. There's an old saying in sports that says, keep your eye on the ball. Why? Because it is easy to become distracted. Do you understand? Satan doesn't have to destroy you. All he has to do is distract you. So keep your eye on the ball. Chase the G. Follow me. Which brings me to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creature, a brand new creation. All of which says it doesn't matter what you were. What matters now is who you become. You see, God doesn't love you because you've always been good and you're always nice and you're so smart. That's not why God loves you. The fact is, none of us will ever be good enough. We can never be nice enough. We can never be smart enough. That's not how it works. That's not how God works. In fact, God loved you before you ever decided to love Him. Did you know that? That's why the psalmist talks about His everlasting love. Let's face the facts. None of us are always easy to love. Now, there's guys like Scott Boatwright. I mean, I'm sure he's easy to love all the time. You know? You can ask his wife about that. She'll probably tell you. All of us. Sometimes we're easy to love. Sometimes we're not so easy to love. All of us are capable and have messed up. All of us are capable and have made really bad decisions. And so as we go through life, we get some things right. But sometimes we're just a hot mess. All of which says, each of us stand in need of the grace and the love and the mercy of the only one who knows how to give it. I don't know if you all sing the song, in need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy raining down from high above. And the song ends, this is my song, my humble plea. I am your child. I am in need. But all of us are. All of us are in need. Which is to say that as we live this Christian life, this faith that we have is never to be a stagnant thing. We are always to be growing. We're always to be learning, to be doing. Faith without works is, somebody say it, dead. What good does that do if it doesn't do? So religion is more than just something you believe. It's what you do about what you believe. And it is in the doing part that the people around us, the people that live around us, the people that work around us, the people that see us on a daily basis, good days and bad, they get to see if our faith is really real. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 that God has endowed each of us with individual gifts particularly suited to us. Why? He says, as each one has received a special gift, use your gift in serving one another. Now the trick is to figure out what is your gift. And then how can I get my gift, however God has gifted me, whatever talents or opportunities He may bestow upon me, how can I take this gift and put it into play? How can I do that? But I guarantee you that you're gifted. God doesn't leave anybody out of the gift department. You're gifted. And there's something you can do with your gift to be able to serve somebody else. But whatever you do, do. When Jesus finished teaching the story of the Good Samaritan, He said, go and do. When he finished washing the feet of the 12, he said, "You are blessed if you..." You notice he didn't say, "Get together on Wednesday night and have a Bible study and talk about this." He said, "You are blessed if you do." You know, one of the most exciting things about being a Christian is that we are born again. Not to just sit around and sit still. Like a baby. Like a baby whose parents get so excited the night he or she turns over in the crib. Or as time goes on and they begin to crawl. And as time goes on as they begin to walk. And we as parents get so excited about that. And as kids begin to toddle around and as they begin to walk, they fall down. They fall down a lot. They run into things. They bump their noggin. They get all... And every time they get back up and they try again. And they keep trying and trying and trying until they get it right. That's what God wants from those of us who were born again. You see, we're moving targets. None of us, hopefully, are where we used to be. All of us still have a ways to go. We are a work in the middle. We are a work in progress. We are a new creation. We are growing in grace and growing in knowledge. And I don't care how old you are and how long you've been a Christian, you are still growing. All of us are. Paul said, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." We continue to walk. Do we fall down sometimes? Yes, we do. And we get up and we try again. I wonder what our lives as Christians would look like if we woke up to the possibilities of coming alive in our faith. Lord, make me alive to your word. Make me alive to prayer. Make me alive to serving the people that you put in my path. Give me an opportunity. By the way, don't pray that prayer if you don't mean that. Because God will answer that. Question is, do you have the courage to pray that prayer? Do you have the courage to live that prayer? You ever know anybody who would sleepwalk? It's kind of an odd, funny thing. They look awake. Their eyes are open. But they're not awake, they're asleep. And a lot of Christians are like that. There's Christians like that. There's churches like that. Jesus wrote to one in Revelation chapter 2, the church of Smyrna, and he said, "You people are asleep. You need to wake up." That's what he says. Wake up. God expects us to live our faith wide awake. You ever have a bad day? Who doesn't have bad days these days? I tell you what you do. The next time you're going through a bad day and you start to kind of feel, first of all, turn off the news. Please turn off the news. That'll depress anybody. Why don't you get into the Holy Spirit news? That will help you. That'll encourage you. But when you're having a bad day and you start feeling really down, you ever think about doing something like singing a hymn? You know, for years, I would do the Vacation Bible School songs with the kids. I loved doing that. And then I saw John Bingham. And I don't want to ever do that again. It's like I'm a rookie in the minor leagues. And suddenly I find the Hall of Famer, you know, who just comes alive and these kids come alive. And it's incredible the gift that he has to be able to connect and to do that. I tell you what you do. The next time you're having a bad day, call John Bingham on the phone and say, "Would you sing me a song? Sing me one of those songs." And they're the kind of songs that they'll loop in your head. You know, it's a small world after all. You ever been to Disney and gone through that ride, then replayed the loop for the next 3 days? Some of those songs are like that. Think about that. Get into the Word. Write a note to somebody. Hey, here's an idea. Write a note to one of the shepherds here who are going through hard times, because I will tell you, shepherds all over the country are going through a hard time, trying to figure out what to do, how to handle everything. What an encouragement it is to get a note from a member that says, hey, I know you're having a hard time. Thank you. Thank you. Make a call to somebody who's sick. Maybe someone who's afraid to get out, or someone who's maybe struggling through all of this. Write them a note. Write them a card. That's faith in action. This is not busy work. This is faith at work. This is Jesus' work. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. When you and I do that, when you and I begin to take our faith and we start doing, then somebody around us, it could be a family member, it could be somebody you work with, it could be somebody you live near, it could be anybody. Somebody is going to be around us and they're going to say, man, what has got into you? What a joy to be able to answer that question. The Lord Jesus has got into you. He'd like to get into you too. So when you feel challenged, when you feel convicted, don't run away from that. Embrace it, cultivate it, celebrate it, grow in it. Because I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters, this is our time. This is our moment. This is our chance to show the world around us that all of this faith stuff that we sing about, and all of these faith scriptures we read, and all of these faith lessons we hear, absolutely mean something significant to our lives. And so the question comes to all of us. Are you following Jesus? Or are you just waving? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity you have given to all of us to assemble here. Father, we recognize that there are places now, even in our own country, where our own brothers and sisters are under legal threat not to do what we're doing right now. We pray for them. We pray for those who are assembling in difficult situations. World over, we pray your blessings upon them. Father, we dare to ask that you would lift this sickness and this illness from our culture, from our world. And we pray, Father, that through the difficult days, that our faith will shine. Help us to use the opportunities you have given to us to lift the lives of others and to point them to the hope that each of us have in you. Forgive us of our sins and strengthen our faith. For in the name of your Holy Son, we do pray. Amen. We sing the song of invitation. If you need to obey the gospel this morning and become a child of His, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Can we help you in any way? We certainly would offer that to you this morning. Won't you come while we sing together?